Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, Thin Line Believers. Let's talk about Revelation. The book of Revelation comes with an outline that's pretty awesome. Jesus tells John to write these things. They are the things which have happened, the things which are happening, and the things that shall come to pass. And we see this laid out as chapter 1 here, the things which have happened. Chapter 2, the letters to the churches, the things which are happening here. And then in chapter 4, we get into the things that will take place. Chapter 6 begins the tribulation period. The church is not involved in that part. At least not here on earth. The church is in heaven, tucked away with Jesus, known as the bridegroom. And in chapter 1 here, verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. And that's why we're doing this. Because we want to give you blessings. We want you to know this book that oftentimes is ignored or passed over because some just think that it's too difficult. And that's a lie from hell. This is not a book that is too difficult. It's a lie because the devil doesn't want us to know what's in here. God tells us these things not to scare us, but to prepare us, as has been said. He gives us this insight so that we can look up and know that our redemption is drawing near. We're up to chapter 10, and I'm going to get started here. The majority of what I really want to get done is just to read you the words so that you have heard it. And to maybe have an idea of what it says so that if you see some of these things, or maybe if you have an opportunity to have a conversation about it, or do more research on it, find a pastor that's trustworthy, and then find their Bible study on this stuff. And that's what I just kind of want to encourage you to get into this book, because this is the only book in the Bible that comes with its own blessings promised. So, chapter 10. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow above his head. His face was like the sun, and his legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll which lay open in his hand. He planted his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. Okay, a couple things here. First of all, there are Bible teachers, good Bible teachers, that have said that this is Jesus. I am not going to go so far as to say that. I think that's a little bit dogmatic, and it's a little bit premature for Jesus to show up on the scene at this time. See, I believe that Jesus comes back at the end of this. He comes back with the saints to conquer the Antichrist, to conquer Satan, to conquer the false prophet. And it's not until the end of this tribulation period that Jesus returns. So I think that what we're seeing here is probably an angel, maybe a cherubim, maybe a messenger angel. And it, whatever it is, it's clearly someone who has spent a lot of time in the presence of God, because when it says here that his face was like the sun, that reminds me of back in Exodus when Moses spent 40 days in the presence of God, and when he came down from the mountain, his face was so bright and radiant that he had to cover it. Otherwise, the people got kind of freaked out about it. So I believe this is an angel here. Now, in the last, I guess, episode, when I finished up chapter 9, I talked about my faith in God and God's faithfulness. And I mentioned something here in chapter 10 that I wanted to touch on. And this is it right here. When he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. This can be a little bit frustrating. It's kind of like being left in a room with a box and only a box, and they say, don't open the box. Okay, well, what are you going to do? You're probably going to open the box. Except in this case, you can't open the box, right? I mean, that seems a little bit unfair to me. Here God says to Jesus, who tells John that the seven thunders spoke, or maybe they show John, the seven thunders spoke. John heard what they said, and he was about to write it down, and then God said, hold on. Don't write that part down. Okay, well, why is it in here then? Well, I think this has application for you and me. See, I go through a situation, well, like you, I go through many situations. Especially in the year 2020. Isn't this just fun? The wildest year for probably all of us. Okay, and I thought for me, 2014 was the year. This one takes the cake. And here we are going through one thing after another after another. And if you're like me, a lot of times it seems like God's silent. Or if he's not, I'll get to this situation and I'll think, okay, God's going to say something here. And he doesn't. Seal up what the seven thunders spoke, right? But then in every situation that I have ever been in, God is faithful. So I might not hear what is being said. I might not see what he's up to. But he's always faithful. And I think if I knew what was coming in each of these situations, I would screw it up. If I knew what God was going to do in my life through such and such a situation, I'd mess it up. If I knew that God was going to use my wife's cancer to build my faith, I probably would have done something to try to avoid the cancer. You name the situation. If I'd have known that I was going to respond to the crash of one of my best friend's sons, and it would take his life, I probably would have called my buddy and said, hey, don't. Just stay out of the car. Keep your boy home. But God is doing something at work here that I cannot see and I cannot understand. And I might not even understand it yet. I might get some understanding of that years down the road. I might not get to understand what God was doing until I'm in heaven. But God is doing something. And if I know what he's up to, I'm going to mess it up. So I think in this case, the seven thunders spoke something something incredible. And I don't get to know what it is yet, because I'll just mess it up. But God is always faithful. And all of us are going to learn something from these seven thunders speaking. Seven being the number of completion, the number of perfection in heaven, in biblical terms. Something great is going to come out of this. And it's up to you and me to depend on the one who is faithful and just be still, like the Psalms say. Be still and know that I am God. And we have more of chapter 10 to get through here. So, then the angel I had seen standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice I had heard from heaven spoke to me once more. Go, take the scroll that lies in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. He said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. I think this describes Bible study and the life of a Christian beautifully. The life of a Christian says, we have this amazing promise, this hope from heaven. And Jesus says, pray that you will escape these things, right? Back in, I think it was chapter 3, it says that I will keep you from the hour of tribulation. And that is so good. We have God to depend on. We have God who is faithful all the time. We have the sacrifice of Jesus that was accepted as for you and me to cover our sins, to wipe them out completely. And that's so good. But there's this bitterness in our stomachs because we know what's coming upon the earth. We know that there are those who could hear the word of God over and over and over again who will reject it every single time. And we'll have to go through this junk. There are those who are going to end up ultimately in hell because they will not accept. They refuse to accept the free gift of salvation. So I like this description of this of the scroll as it's given to John, and he eats it and it's so sweet. Oh, it's so good to the taste. But then, oh man, it gives you such a gut ache. I remember a couple years ago, I had an issue with ulcers, and I'll tell you what, one of my favorite foods ever, and I can't eat it so much because of the cholesterol, is eggs. And for some reason, eggs would ignite that ulcer, and it was the saddest thing because I wanted to eat them, but it made me sick. And in this case, I'm going to keep taking in the word of God. And the closer we get to what I'm reading here, the closer we get to this tribulation time, the more bitter it is to my stomach. And it's hard. It is hard. And we're called, some of us are called to be like watchmen on the wall. In ancient times, he had the watchman on the wall, and he would watch for the enemy approaching. And if he didn't sound the warning, the blood of his people would be on his head. It'd be on his hands. But if he did, if he sounded the warning, then it would wake the soldiers it would wake the government to send the soldiers to fight for the country. And even if they lost, then the blood was on their own hands, their own heads, not on the watchman. I think that in days like this, you and I should probably, most definitely, be sounding that trumpet, be sounding that warning cry. Because there are those, whether it's the tribulation that's coming or whether it's death, there are those that won't live to see tomorrow. And if they haven't heard the word, if they haven't heard the gospel, it's up to them whether what they do with it. But it's up to you and me as to whether or not they hear it. So let me encourage you today to go out, be watchmen, spread the word, the good news, and hopefully people listen. Because these are wild times, and none of us is promised tomorrow. All right, God bless. Hey, I want to apologize because I haven't been doing the Instagram thing. I'm not really on there at all anymore. I chose to cut out media, social, or news, because I just don't know what's coming in as truth anymore. And so I chose to cut all that out and instead go to my Bible, because I know that that is truth. So I'd actually encourage you to do the same, especially if you're dealing with any kind of stresses, depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff. Maybe it's time to shut off the media and turn to the word. So God bless, and we'll be back soon.